off somewhere on Mem Gimel on base, and they, I think?
17 lines down.
17 lines down, okay. So it's the middle of the topic of Muktzeh, so we'll discuss a little bit about Muktzeh. What is the deal of Muktzeh? Muktzeh is asa to eat. Muktzeh is asa b'achila. Food which is Muktzeh may not be eaten. Is that an Issa deraisa? Is that an Issa derabbanan? So the Gemara in Psochem and Daf Mem Zayin sounds like it has a discussion about this. The Havamin of the Gemara was that there's an Isser Achila Menater. You're not allowed to eat Muktzeh on Yontif and on Shabbos Menater. The Gemara talks about the Dina Mimashki Yisrael Menamuta Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that when you bring Karbonis to the Beis Hamikdash, the wine that you pour on the Mizbeach, and the animals that you makriv, and the flour that you bring for Karbon Mincha have to be kosher food. If you have an animal that's a treifa, so the Gemara says you can't be makriv it as a Karbon, because it's a violation of Mashki Yisrael Menamuta Yisrael. If you pour wine that's also, let's say the wine is Orla Klai Akerem, it's also Bishtia. So it's possible to use as Nisa Chayayin. So what if you have wine which is Muktzeh? What if you have wine which is Muktzeh? So the Raisa says there in the Gemara Mishachim that it's okay. So the Gemara asks, why? Obviously it must be that the Issa Muktzeh is only the Rabbanon. If the Issa Muktzeh would have been an Issa Deraisa, then it would have been a violation of Mashki Yisrael. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara had a Havamina. At the beginning, the Gemara thought that the Yisrael Achilas Muktzeh is Deraisa. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Achilas Muktzeh is only the Rabbanon. Rashi writes on the first daf in Beitza, on the base on the base, and Rashi in Erevin repeats it again, that Rashi writes, but according to Rabba's opinion, Rabba on the first daf in Beitza talks about the din of Hachone. He quotes the Pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Bo. When Amon came down, a double portion of Amon came down, an Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yontif, so they would, B'nai Yisrael were told, Behechino Esa Sheyaviu, they should prepare the food for Shabbos, Esa Shatofu Eifu, Esa Shetabash L'Bashela, whatever you want to cook, you should cook on the Erev Shabbos, because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. There's no Heterach Nevesh on Shabbos. And it says, Ve'echinu Esa She'aviv. So Rabbi says, that Pasuk tells us that Sudas Shabbos and Sudas Yantav needs Hachana, and if the food was improperly prepared, then you're not allowed to eat. So Rashi learns on Pshat and Rabbah, food that was improperly prepared is equivalent to food that had no preparation. Food that had no Hachana is called Muktzeh. Muktzeh is also b'achila, is a din min haTorah, Rashi says. The Gemara says, according to Rabbah, and the Pashta says that we pass like Rabbah, the din of Hachana, Hachana de Rabbah, Rabbah's din of Hachana is a din de Raisa. And Rashi learns that food that didn't have Hachana is also b'achila min haTorah, and if it had an improper Hachana, then it's equivalent of lacking Hachana. What's considered an improper Hachana? If you're prepared on Yontif for Shabbos, or you're prepared on Shabbos for Yontif. That's how Rashi learns. So Tosfos disagrees, Tosfos in Erevin, Daf Lamed Ches disagrees with the Rashi, and the Rashba on the first half in Beitza disagrees with the Rashi. All the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They say, look in the Gemara in Psochem on Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara had a Havamina that the Issa Rachilas Muktzeh is an Issa Deraisa. Then the Gemara backs out, Lamaskana, the Gemara says it can't be. If it would have been an Issa Deraisa to eat it, then it would have been possible. Just like Yain Shal Orlo, Shal Kloy HaKerem, Yain Shal Tevel, is a lack of in Mashki Yisrael. You have to have kosher wine. So if the Muktzeh would be Asa Bachila, it would have been possible in Asa Chagami HaMizbech. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that if the wine is Muktzeh, you can use it. How does Rashi deal with that Gemara? And Rashi quotes the Gemara. Rashi says, as it says in the Gemara in Psochim, that Muktzeh is derais. So all the Rishonim asked, that was the Havamina of the Gemara, but the Gemara backs out from Maskana. So on the side of the Gemara, they tell you, look in the Shita Mekubetzes on Beitza, on the first daf in Beitza. So the Shita Mekubetzes explains, and all the Achrenim refer you to that Shita Mekubetzes. Shita Mekubetzes on Beitza says that Muktzeh is asur b'achila, okay? Then Muktzeh is also betiltel. You're not allowed to handle something that's Muktzeh. So Muktzeh is also betiltel. Everybody agrees that that's only a din derabbana. That's not a din derais. And the Gemara says, both in Shabbos and in Beitza, that tiltel Muktzeh is also a derabbana. Gzer Shema Yotzi, Mishum Haitzor. And if The Gemara has a discussion in the first perek in Beitz on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph whether the Isser Haitzah carries over to Yontif or not. Maybe the whole Isser, maybe you carry over it for the Lama Tesovus Malachas Haitzah is a Malacha Grua. That's the Tosfos on the first Daf has like that. Haitzah is a Malacha Grua. So maybe you only carry over 38 Malachas from Shabbos to Yontif. Maybe Haitzah doesn't carry over. Why should you think that Haitzah doesn't carry over? Because the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, reads, Lo Setzio Masim Yibatechem Beyoim HaShabbos. So the Gemara wants to be Medak B'Shabbos and B'Yontif Loi, that the Yisro Haitzah doesn't apply to Yontif. The Gemara had a Havamina that there's no prohibition of Haitzah Yom Kippur. A lot of the Balabatim in America hold like that. They carry their Machzerim to Shul on Yom Kippur when there's no Erev. That's a Havamina of the Gemara, but the Gemara rejects it. Maskan is that you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. But the Shad is what about on Yontav? So the Gemara has one opinion in Beitz on the first parak. Erev Haitzor, the Shabbos, main Erev Haitzor, the Yontav. Based on Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Lo Setzio Ma'atzim Yibasechem B'yoyim HaShabbos, Shabbos and B'yontav Lo. So the Gemara says it can't be. That's out of the question, it can't be. If there would be a Tana, the Gemara thought maybe Basila holds like that. Maybe that's the Machlekes. Basila Mishama, if you're allowed to carry the Lulav to Shul, Yontav, you're allowed to carry a Machzor to Shul, to Daven on Yontav. Machlekes Bisham and Bisil. The Gemara thought maybe that's the Machlekes, whether the Yisro Haitzah carries over from Shabbos to Yontif or not. Maybe only the 38 Malachas and Haitzah is a Malacha Gura doesn't carry over. Gemara says it can't be. If that were the case, that there's no Yisro Deraisa of Haitzah and Yontif, then they shouldn't have made Gzeir of Muktzah. And Muktzah, if anything, is Mochomer on Yontif than it is on Shabbos. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The first Daf and Beitzah, it sounds like it says, that Rabbi Yudal Nasi edited the Mishnayis and he wrote the Mishnayis in such a way to imply that the laws are Muktzah, Machomer, and Yontav, and then they are on Shabbos. That's a simple reading in the Gemara. So the Gemara says that Tiltal Muktzah is a Shvus of Haitzah, we're afraid people will carry out in the street, so they prohibited us from handling things in the house. To prohibit us from handling a chair and a table and a fork and a knife, that would make that would be make life very uncomfortable. But to prohibit carrying things that are muktzah, ben kol vekol muktzah, things that you don't handle anyway on Yontif, you don't really need it, has no hishtamshus on Yontif. So that does make life so difficult. So they made gzeira the rabbanu shemayotz. So the pashtus is, the Rambam has in the end, towards the end of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes a whole explanation what motivated the rabbis to introduce the gzeira the rabbanu of muktzah. So the Ravid writes in the Hasokas on the Rambam, I don't know, and my Gemara just says it's a Shavus of Haitzah. I don't know where the Rambam got this whole story from. The Rambam quotes that also, Shavus of Haitzah, but he has a whole longer story that they wanted to make Shabbos different from the weekdays because there are some people who are retired and they live in old age homes and they don't cook their food anyway and they don't send any letters to anybody anyway and they don't vacuum the rug and they don't do their laundry, they don't do any malachas at all. All week long, they don't do. They're very tired. They don't do any malachas at all. Everything is taken care of for them. So how is it going to be a shvisa hanikeres when you abstain from malach on Shabbos? Rambam says it should be noticeable. It should be conspicuous. It should be evident that you're shavis from malacha because Shabbos has a kedusha sayyim. So the Rambam says that's what motivated the chacham to introduce the Yisra Muktzah, that it should be a shvisa hanikeres. So the rabbi writes, I don't know where you get that from. He says, the Magimor, it says that it's a shvus of haitzah. So Tiltal Muktzah, everybody agrees, is only the Rabbanim. And Muktzah Lachila is the Machloikis Rashi and the other Rishonim. Rashi claims that according to Rabbah, who holds Hachana, the Rabbah, Rabbah holds that if food had an improper Hachana, it's equivalent of a lack of Hachana. And food that had no Hachana is an Issa deraisa to eat. So Rashi holds, according to Rabbah, that Muktzah Lachila is deraisa. I, the Gemara is Zaymid Kenega, the Gemara Psochim. That was the Havamin and the Maskana is not so. So the Shita Mekubetzes points out that Muktzah, in addition to being Asa B'Achila, Rashi holds that that never changed. Muktzah is Asa B'Achila Men HaTorah, that doesn't change. And that's not a violation of Mashki Yisrael Men HaMutal Yisrael. Mashki Yisrael, the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says that when you pour wine on the Mizbeach, it has to be kosher wine. It can't be Tevel, it can't be Oral, it can't be Kloy HaKerem. But Muktzah is Zechah Shabbos Dikadin. It's not because the food is Osir. You're not allowed to eat food that had no Hachana, had an improper Hachana. So that wouldn't be a violation of Mimashki Yisrael Men HaMutal Yisrael. The only question is, the Gemara raised a different thing, that muktzah is also to consume muktzah. Let's say I have logs that fell down from the tree on Yontov, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to burn those logs, even though there's a het toichal nefesh on Yontov, you're allowed to do a malach of havorah for the purpose of achal nefesh. Let's say you want to burn logs in order to cook some food, you want to burn logs in order to keep warm on Yontov, so that's permissible. But etzim shenoshim and adekel be Yontov are muktzah, so those logs you're not allowed to burn. Why? Muktzah is also b'hanoah. Is there such a din? Muktzah is also b'hanoah. So Tosis points out muktzah is muta b'hanoah. There's a Gemara later in Perek, I think it's in Kol HaKelim, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was once traveling with his Talmidim, I think it's in Kol HaKelim, and they came to a location, and they had to set up, they didn't have enough chairs for this, they didn't have any chairs at all, they were traveling. So they were going to sit on big boulders, but they wanted all the boulders to be near each other, so when he gave the shiur, all the students would be sitting near each other. So they moved a whole bunch of boulders on Erev Shabbos, so the students would be able to sit on the boulders on Shabbos. The big boulders are Mam Sheitz, Kuf Chav Zayin, Omer Aleph. Okay, so that's a Mefanim. That's right, that's what it is. It's not in Kol HaKelim. It's a Mefanim. Kuf Chav Zayin, Omer Aleph. So the Gemara says that they moved all of the boulders on Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos they wouldn't be allowed to be Metalta Lemukta. Eitz Mavanim Yofer. This is Avanim. Is muktzah. So what did it help that they moved the boulders on Erev Shabbos? But how did they sit on the boulders on Shabbos? They see mefurish from the Gemara that the muktzah is muta b'hano. But nonetheless, the Gemara says in the first perik in Beitza that eitz mishanashim and adekel, you're not allowed to burn them in order to use the fire to cook food or to keep warm. Why? So that's the Rishonim explained. Hano shel kilui is also. Hano shel kilui is comparable to eating. Just like muktzah is also b'achila, there's an iser not to eat muktzah, so there's an iser not to get hanosh al kiloi. So that was the debate in the Gemara, there in Pesachim and Daf Mem Zayin. When you're going to use wine, which is muktzah, and pour it on the mizbech, it's going to get consumed. So muta b'hano it is, but hanosh al kiloi, that not. Hanosh al kiloi is us. So the Gemara thought originally in the Trilas HaSugya, that hanosh al kiloi for muktzah is an iser deraiser, just like Achilus Muktzah is an Issa Derais. Gemara came to the Maskana that we split between the two. True Rashi holds, true Achilus Muktzah is an Issa Derais, but Anosh Al-Kile, that extension is only Midirabonim. Anosh Al-Kile is treated like Achila, that's only Midirabonim. Tosis writes on Ardaf, as well as in other places as well, Tosis writes on Mem Gimel Omer Aleph, Dibra Maskal Be'odim Olof, Tosis distinguishes between tiltal muktzah as opposed to achilas muktzah. That achilas muktzah is more chomer than tiltal muktzah. Why is it more chomer? So according to Rashi, we understand why. Achilas muktzah is an isa deraisa, and tiltal muktzah is only an isa derabbanan. Even according to the Balei HaTosfos, who disagree with Rashi, and all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, they hold that that muktzah achilah is also only awesome midirabbanan, but it's considered more chomer because it has an achmacht in the pasuk. Since it says, they should prepare all the food on Erev Shabbos. On an Erev Yontif, if you didn't prepare it, you're not allowed to eat it. That's a simple reading of the Pasuk. Sounds like Rashi. Sounds like Muktzah and Issa Deraisis. Even though we don't hold like that, we say, means you shouldn't cook the food on Shabbos because no Heter Echel Nefesh on Shabbos. That's why Vehechinu. But Muktzah Lachil is only with the Rabbanim, but still it has an Asmacht in the Pasuk. So Din the Rabbanim that has an Asmacht is considered mochamer than a din derabbanan which doesn't have an asmachta. So muktzah letiltel doesn't have any asmachta. So there we're mekel. And muktzah lachil is mochamer than muktzah letiltel. But again, to what does Tosis say the muktzah lachil is mochamer? So Tosis on Mem Gimel Amen Alf, Tosis in different places has been again to different halachas. Here the Tosis says it with respect to the din of ein muktzah lachatzi Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza has a discussion where the Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos or Ein Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. There's a quote from Beitza, Chavov HaMebeis. What does it mean? What does it mean? Let's say I have a bottle and the bottle smashes in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yontov. So you say, it's not, there can't be Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos, since it wasn't Muktzah in the beginning of the day, so it can't become Muktzah in the middle of the day. That's not true. There's Beferi Shigemaris, that a thing can become Muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. The topic in the Gemara, yeah, where the Yesh Ein Muktzah, we pass Gnei Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos, The topic Gemara means something else. Means there is a klal migudis katzoy the ben hashmashis is katzoy the kol yam. Whatever was muktzah ben hashmashis remains muktzah throughout the remainder of the day. So the Gemara there in Beitzah Chavav and in Beis raises a question: what if something became muktzah in the middle of the day, middle of Shabbos, from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Then the sibas hahaktzah goes away. There's no longer any cause why it should be muktzah. Do you say migudis katzoy between 3 and 4 is katzoy lekuli yoma? Since it was muktzah between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, it remains muktzah till the end of the day. Or do you say no? That's only ben hashmashes for some special reason. Maybe ben hashmashes. That's what we had to discuss in the Rishonim. Ben hashmashes called the tikkun rabbanon came deraisa tikkun. Maybe it's patterned after the din deraisa. Maybe that's the din deraisa that ben hashmashes of tchilas haShabbos is the oyser for the remainder of Shabbos. That's why we had the Maharam Rutenberg held like that. The Rosh quoted his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg, at the end of Maseches Ma'ikotin. The last parak of Ma'ikotin talks about Avelus. Talks about Avelus, Achalamoit. Avelus, Ma'ikotin is all about Chalamoit. Beitz is all about Yontif. Shabbos is all about Shabbos. Beitz is all about Yontif. Ma'ikotin is all about Chalamoit, the little Yontif, the miniature Yontif. So the last parak has all the dinam of Avelus on Yontif and on Chalamoit. So the Rosh there quotes a psak from the Maharam Rutenberg regarding the din. There is a machlokes, and we with the machlokes and the geonim, and we paskin la'alocha that children before bar mitzvah, even a week before bar mitzvah, don't observe avelus. If a relative dies and the child is not bar mitzvah, even though the schinach and dinim derais and dinim derabbanon, the schinach and minhagim also, but by a katan sheigir lechinach, but there's no chinach and avelus. A question: why? But that's the din. There's no chinach and avelus. So the Rosh has a machlokes with his rebbe with the Maharam Rutenberg. What if the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the shloshim? Whatever happened before is bar mitzvah, he's not mechuyev to observe avelus, but in the middle of shloshim, if he becomes bar mitzvah, so that should be treated like a shmur kareva. What if a person hears within shloshim of the death of a relative, he wasn't aware that a relative died, and they told him about, he found out about it in the middle of shloshim. So the Gemara has a distinction between shmur kareva as opposed to shmur rechoika. If he hears about the death of the relative within 30 days of the death, so then that's called Shmur Kareva, and he has to begin observing Avelis, Shiva, and Shloshim. But if he hears about the death of the relative, Shmur Rechoika, after 30 days after the relative died, there's a machlokes, what it means 30 days? 30 days from the death, or 30 days from the Kvura B'Kevi Yisrael? We are makel on this, even though, let's say he died one day and he was buried 2 days later. So as long as it's 30 days have gone by since the death of this person, so we'll make al alocha dira make al bava, we'll make al on that. And we say that's called Shmur Rechoika. Shmur Rechoika, Zayin and Nehagas Aliyayim Echad Bilvat. You only observe one day, and the one day you can chisel down and say Mikzah Seyam Kukula. So the Marshal says you only observe Shoachas. So the Maharam, the Rosh, and the end of Maseches Ma'ikotin quotes from his Rebbe, from the Maharam Rutenberg, what's the din if the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of shloshim? So whatever the child knew about before he becomes bar mitzvah doesn't count. We paskin like the goyim that there's no chinach and avelus. But then the child hears 20 days after the death of a relative, he becomes bar mitzvah. And after he's bar mitzvah, then it does count. So now consider it like a shmur kareva. He just heard within 30 days of the death of a relative that the relative died. So maybe he should be obligated to observe Avelus now. So the Rosh says, no, he's not a mechuyev to observe Avelus now. The Rosh says, Avelus has to begin mishastimas hagaylo. When you do the kvur, when you did the kvur, the kid was a katan, he wasn't mechuyev. Not mechuyev, so not mechuyev. The din of shmor kareva is a different word. He didn't hear about the death until 20 days later. So then the yediyah sami says, right here, the idea of the death took place while he was a katan. The katan is now chiyin of Avelus. No chinuch avelus nisht. It's not a din of shmur kareva. He heard about it before. It's not that what the cotton he is doesn't count at all. And the Maharam Rutenberg holds not so. Maharam Rutenberg holds that when the child becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days, he's obligated to observe the shiva and the shloshim starting from the time that he comes bar mitzvah. So the Maharam Rutenberg brings a raya from a gemara in Maseches Yevamos, where the Gemara says that if a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, how can a child become bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos? So the Poshe Pshat in the Gemara is that Hevi Shtei Cyrus. One is only bar mitzvah if he has yud gimel shana v'yamecha plus simonim. He needs shanim v'simonim. So the shanim means yud gimel shana v'yamecha. He's already 13 years old, full 13 years old. And he has simonim, he has shtei saris. So what if the shtei saris grow on Shabbos afternoon? In the beginning of Shabbos, he didn't have shtei saris. He's already 14 years old. Beginning of Shabbos didn't have shtei saris. And he develops the shtei saris on Shabbos afternoon. So the Gemara says a chiddush, even though at the beginning of Shabbos he was only obligated to observe midi rabbanon, mitam chinuch, but at the end of Shabbos he's obligated to observe ben atur. So the Maram Ritmerk sees that considers that a gevaldig chiddush. He thinks that the pein hashmashes of tchilas hayayim is mechayiv on the level of derais in the observance of Shabbos. So the kid wasn't bar mitzvah, but tchilas hayayim should have been potter from observing even the second half of Shabbos. What does it help that he becomes bar mitzvah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos, but he didn't experience bein hashmashes after he was bar mitzvah? So he says, you see from that Gemara and Yevamos that there's no dichrei etzel mitzvahs, that even though the mechayiv to observe Shabbos is the bein hashmashes of tchilas hayayim, and at that time he was a kotten, the bein hashmashes was mechayiv him avur liachazman. So he says, who adinami the stimus agoylo, when you complete the gvura of a relative, the stimus agoylo is mechayiv in avelus, and the kotten is not a bar chiyuva, even mitam chinuch, there isn't any chiyuv avelus, even with the rabbanon. But the stimus agoylo, the gvura sameis, is mechayiv the kotten avur liachazman. If he'll find out about, if he'll become bar mitzvah within shloshim, he'll be obligated to observe the avelus after he becomes bar mitzvah. And the Rosh disagrees with the whole thing, and he says, where did the Maram Ritmerk see in the Gemara that tchilas hayayim is mechayiv the kotten? The Rosh tainis, every minute of Shabbat has kedushas hayayim, every minute asas b'malacha. Why did he say, I don't understand, why did my Rebbe assume that the bein hashmashes of tchilas hayayim is the mechayiv on the level of the Raisa to observe Shmiras HaShabbos the whole day? Every minute of Shabbos has Kedusha Zayim. So that's a fundamental machlokes, the Maram Ritmerk and the Rosh. So that's what many assume, that we paskin like that Gemara and Beitza Chavov and Beis, Ein Muktzeh L'Chatzi Shabbos means, Migudus Kaltzoi is only whatever was Muktzeh Bein HaShmashes remains Muktzeh throughout Shabbos, because Bein Hashmashes plays a role on the level of their Eisa. Bein Hashmashes is the Eisa b'malocha for the whole day. So who had the Nami Bein Hashmashes, whatever was Muktzah Bein Hashmashes, even though the cause of its being Muktzah disappears in the middle of Shabbos, it remains Muktzah throughout. But when something was Muktzah between 3 and 4 in the afternoon on Shabbos, then you know the Migeres Katzoi, the Miktzah Hayam is Katzoi the Shar Hayam. So Taisus claims over here that whole debate, that whole discussion, in Masachas Beitza Chavov HaMebeitz, where the Yesh Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, Rein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, where they say Migeres Katzoi L'Emtza HaShabbos is Katzoi L'Sof HaYom, that's only regarding Muktzah L'Achila, regarding Muktzah L'Tiltel, there never was a Shaila. Muktzah L'Tiltel is more Kal, there never was a Shaila.
Isn't the Gemara in Shavuos, I'm trying to remember the precise case, the Gemara in Shavuos against Maram Yerotenberg, Gemara says by Yom Kippur, Gemara wants to find a way, if you assume that the whole that the day is Mechaper, so Gemara wants to find a way for you to be Mechayav Truas. We assume that the day is Mechaper from Mechaper, something like that. Gemara wants to find a way that you be Mechayav. It says either after do the Lacha, you can do something else, or Kholdin Ashmashos with Motzi of Kippur, or right before Ben Ashmashos and through Ben Ashmashos, or you eat something, trait, and choke and die on it immediately, so you don't have time to get the Kapar yet.
Yeah.
So shouldn't that not be? It has nothing to do with the banishment. It's nothing to do with banishment.
You mean, when does the kapara come? When does the kapara come? That's another
kapara
topic.
The kapara will be separated from the Yisra Malacha from the rest of the day.
Apparently. Apparently he thinks that it's not the same. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, apparently it's not the same. The Yerushalmi holds that the Sof HaYom is Mechaper, and the Bavli holds that every minute of the day is Mechaper. If he really did the Aver, if the guy, the Gemara, wants to know, Rebbe holds Yom Kippur is Mechaper even the She'enim Shavim. Even if he didn't do Tshuva, Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So the Gemara wants to know, how did the Torah ever have a din that whoever eats on Yom Kippur is Chayv Koris if he eats B'mezid, but Yom Kippur is Mechaper even if he didn't do Tshuva? So how was he ever going to be Chayv Koris? So the Gemara suggests maybe he ate on Yom Kippur and he choked and he died right away. So the only time it's Mechaper is if he did the Avera, and then there was a moment of Yom Kippur to be Mechaper afterwards. If he died right away, so he died right away, so what is the punishment of Kores? In Olam Haba, he'll be punished with the Kores. But the Gemara says, if you're like Rebbe, Olam Hazeh, the Yom Kippur will be Mechaper from the Kores, and he's not going to die. The Gemara says Kores means he died at the age of 50. Nisi B'dei Shemai means he died at the age of 60. That's the end of Moed Katan. So the Kores, Olam Hazeh, he won't have, because Yom Kippur is Mechaper, according to Rebbe, even if Loi also Tshuva. But the Kores will include a punishment at Olam Haba as well. Okay, so that punishment will have. So that's a discussion, which part of Yom Kippur does the kapor. According to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is even mechaper, but lo yasa tshuva, bein asa tshuva, bein lo yasa tshuva. So when is it mechaper? So the Babli says, assumes every moment of Yom Kippur is mechaper. And the Rishalmi, Tosis quotes Rishalmi, the sofa yom of Yom Kippur is mechaper. Yeah, apparently it's not the same. We were talking about what is the oisa b'malocha. The oisa b'malocha, so that's what the Maharam Brutmer calls, that's the Chilas HaYoyim of Shabbos. Yeah, what's this din? Migud is katzor de ben hashmashes, is katzor de kul yama. Ben hashmashes is kaveh, what's muktzah, whatever. That's a machlekes, Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon, where they say migud is katzor. Most of Shemesh have been there. That's four lines from the top. A mem dalad am an aleph. Four lines from the top, a mem dalad am an aleph, is a brisa taner abanan. Most of Shemesh have been there. Is a machlekes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. Reb Yudah holds he's saying migud is katzor. If Shimon doesn't believe in Migud is Katzoy, yet. The Gemara's Lashon is, but Oidnam Olav, Kol Bein Hashmashes. That's the Lashon of the Gemara, Mem Gim Lamed Aleph. If you have Efroichim in front of Efroichim on a basket, a sal, and the Efroichim are sitting on the basket, Kol Bein Hashmashes. Whenever the Gemara talks about Migud is Katzoy, Rashi always has that Lashon, Kol Bein Hashmashes. Prima Gordon points it out based on the Rashis, but it's really Rashi got it from the Gemara. The Gemara's Lashon is, Oid them all of their Freichim around the basket, and the Sal called Ben Hashmashas. So therefore you say, Migur is Katzol Ben Hashmashas. Is Katzol Kul Yom. But why do you need called Ben Hashmashas? What's wrong if their Freichim are around the Sal, Miktsas from Ben Hashmashas and Mistame? The Gemara says, Ben Hashmashas is Safik Yom, Safik Lailom. So it's not only, you don't treat the whole Ben Hashmashas as one unit. It could be the first 5 minutes ayom, and then let's say Ben Hashmashas is a 25-minute chunk of time. Could be the first 5 minutes is yom, and the next 5 minutes are laila. Could be the first 10 minutes ayom, next 15 minutes are laila. So if you're just going to have something as a basis for the first 10 minutes of Ben Hashmashas, it wasn't basis called Ben Hashmashas. Oy the mal of called Ben Hashmashas, the sal was a basis for the afroichim throughout the entire 25 minutes of Ben Hashmashas. If it's not Oidim Olav called Ben Hashmashas, then we say, maybe the Afroichim was sitting on the Sal first 10 minutes of Ben Hashmashas, that part is Yom, and the next 15 minutes are Laila. And the whole Vart, Amigiris Katzad Ben Hashmashas, means if something was Muktzah, something was Basis, Betchilos Hayayim, it remains Basis throughout Shabbos. Maybe it wasn't Betchilos Hayayim, maybe the first 10 minutes don't count, first 10 minutes is Yom, the next 15 minutes is Laila. So that's why it should be a suffix. So you can't declare it should be a suffix the Rabbanon Lekula. The whole thing of buses is only mid the Rabbanon. You're not going to eat the buses. We're not talking about Muktzah Lachil, we're talking about Muktziltel. The Muktzah the Tiltel, the whole thing is only mid the Rabbanon. So if you have a suffix, you should really say suffix the Rabbanon Lekula.
Isn't it right from here that Ben Hashmashas isn't a mixture of day and night? We don't know.
Right. This Gemara sounds like it's contradicting that Ritva. There's a Ritva in Yuma that the Rogachava discovered, and everybody now knows the Ritva. There's a Ritva in Yuma says that the Sofik of Ben Hashmashas is a different kind of a Sofik. It's superimposed Laila on top of Yom. It's Yom v'Laila Mishtamshin b'Rebuvia, or v'Choshech Mishtamshin b'Rebuvia. Has a din of Yom, it has a din of Laila. And we treat it as if it were a suffix. It's not that it's really a suffix. When does the Yom end and when does the Laila begin? Is it Yom? Is it Laila? He says, no, it's both Yom and Laila. It's a tie to the Sasri. Whenever you have a tie to the Sasri, you treat it, for halacha purposes, you treat it as if it were a suffix. Yeah, but this Gemara, Oidim Ol Kol Ben Hashmashas, sounds like the simple reading in the Mishnah increases, that it's a suffix. Maybe the first few minutes are Yom and the next few minutes are Laila. Maybe the first 20 minutes are Yom and the next 5 minutes are Laila. That's a simple reading and the Mishnah increases. Not like this. The Ritva says we don't paskin like that Tana increases. We paskin like the other Tana. The other Tanaim, the other Tanaim never really said they disagree with that understanding. The Ritva is Achidish, the Ritva and Yuma has like that.
Shouldn't we just need the very end of the Inashmashis for this whole end?
No, it could be that the end of Inashmashis was already Laila, and it could be the beginning was also Laila. If something was a bus, it's only the last 5 minutes of Ben Hashmashes, then we would say, Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. It was like if something was Muktzah between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, you don't say Migidus Katzoi. So maybe the last 5 minutes of the 25 minutes are Emtzah Hayom. Maybe it was ready Laila before the last 5 minutes. So that's why the Gemara says, in order to say buses, in order to say Migidus Katzoi, you have to have that it should be buses, Oyrim Olav Kol Ben Hashmashes. That the thing served as a buses for the Davar HaAser, the whole Bein HaShmashes, yeah. The whole Bein HaShmashes.
How can we have a Machloket, maybe Shimon, maybe Yehuda, by Masada Tila? Don't there, like, wouldn't everyone switch to Gemara and find himself, right, that Rav felt like maybe Shimon by Tilpa, but
wouldn't everyone,
like, the way Rav is explaining it, doesn't sound like everyone, for
Achila,
you need an active
Hachana. That's, Rav is already compromising. In the days of the Naim, Rav Shimon was everything Lahakal, and Rav Yehuda was everything Lahachmer. And then you have different, at the end of the Mesich, the Gemara has compromises, that you adopt half like Rav Shimon, half like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, they themselves, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda themselves, disagreed all the way, and everything, even
how Rabbi Shimon be made up by, let's say, Basak Tata to eat it. I mean, because you didn't act with Tafan. Would that be the idea? I mean, you don't have Rabbi Shimon say, happy Rabbi Shimon be made up.
Apparently, Rabbi Shimon thinks that Oichlam and Kelim and Buchan me aleim.
Even for Hachana, even to say that there's a Hachana.
Yeah, Buchan me aleim. It's Roy Lachila. Roy Lachila is Buchan me aleim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to have achana sabaylim. You have to have achana bikavon. It's interesting, there is a Gemara there in Beitz on Dav Chavov and Beis, that same Dav that Tosis was quoting from. The Gemara there has a din of Grogus v'tzimukim. What's the story of Grogus v'tzimukim? Grogus v'tzimukim appears here on Mem Heim and Aleph. The Gemara says, even Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold from Muktzah, boy, the Rabbi Shimon, ain't Muktzah, the Rabbi Shimon, al Grogus v'tzimukim b'levad. What does that mean? So where is the Machlek Zabir Reb Shimon? Which cases? So the Gemara has on Yutes on the base. The Gemara has, the way we have the Girs in the Gemara, it's a Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara says, Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel, depends, we call me Fligi, but look to the Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon. That's how it says in our Gemara. Rabbi Kivege quotes there, and the Gilyan HaShas, Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Rif, they had a slightly different gears in the Gemara. Not that it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and it depends on Rabbi Reb Shimon, that it's a machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon, period. Leave out Rabbi Shmuel. Machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon. Okay, it doesn't make a difference, but we know it's a machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon. What's a din? Tamri le'iska. A fella has his apartment where he lives with his family adjacent to his grocery store. So he has food in the grocery store that's for sale. He has packages all packed up with a label on the package, how much it costs. So he doesn't, there's an umdar in the mochach that he didn't plan to eat that food on Shabbos. Or let's say, you have, that's tamri le'iska. You have tamorim that are wrapped up in oimid le'iska, tzaimid le'himocher. Or the Gemara has, you have chitim le'oitzer, beginning of Perek Mefanim, the 24 prokim of Masechah Shabbos. So Perek Mefanim is about moving sacks of food in the house in order to make room for the guests, for the Orchim, and the Gemara has a whole discussion of how significant the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim is, that Avraham Avinu invited the three angels to come. He thought they were human beings, thought they were Arabs. He invited them to come. Or Mipnei Bitl Mipnei Beis HaMedrash, the students want to sit and listen, they want to learn. So you have to move away sacks of food in order that there should be room for the students to sit down. So that's how the Perek begins, on Kuf Chavov Amid Beis. You're allowed to move away sacks of food. So the Gemara has on Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara has a Machloikis. What about if you have a sack of grain? I didn't even open up the sack of grain yet. It's closed, a sack of grain. I didn't grind it up to make flour yet. I didn't even open it. So it's an Umdar in the Muchach on Erev Yontif On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, I do not plan to use that stuff. Then in the middle of Shabbos, I change my mind. Would you say that it's Muktzah or not? So the Gemara has, whether Maschilim Ba'oitza Tchila, Chitim La'oitza, you have Chitim in an Oitza that is stacked away, Dinum Dinum Mukha, that he doesn't plan to use it. That's what I used to give the mashal. You have the ice cream in the freezer put away for a birthday party on Sunday. Zinum denun mochach, that you're not going to eat it on Shabbos. If you would want to eat it, Shal Shud is fine. He's not going to be fleishig. It's already many. Obviously, he finished the fleishig meal early in the day. You can, but they put it away in the freezer. Well, let's say you have Pesach diga dishes. It's zinum denun mochach. You don't plan to use the Pesach diga dishes all year long. So that would be a machlokes, Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. So what's the machlokes? So Rav Soloveitchik worded it based on the Lashon of the Shiltas. The Shiltas presents that Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chavam and Beis like this. The Gemara says, even though Reb Shimon is Mekel, and Chitim La'oitzer, and Tamri La'isko, Kuchav Zainam and Aleph, and you test on the Beis, it's an Umadar in the Mukhach that he doesn't plan to eat this food on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Reb Bira holds that therefore it's Muktzah, Reb Shimon holds not Muktzah. But then the Gemara says Reb Shimon would be Moida, the Grogus for Tzimukim, that would be Muktzah. Manishtana, what's Grogus for Tzimukim is different. That's the Gemara Mem Hei Amid Aleph. Why is Grogus for Tzimukim different? So the Gemara explains there in Beitza, Chavovim and Beis. Gemara says, because Grogus in Tzimukim means I put the fruit up on top of the roof, on the rooftop, to dry out in the sun. He puts up grapes in order to make raisins. He puts up some other food like that. He wants to dry out the figs or the dates or something like that. So when you have fresh fruits, everybody will hold that it's Roy L'Achila. When you have dried out fruits, everybody's masking it's Roy L'Achila. When you have the in-between stage, it's in the middle of the drying out process. So Gemara says that's a borderline food. Some people will eat it in the in-between stage. Some people will not want to eat it. They know that they enjoy eating fresh grapes and they enjoy eating raisins. And this in-between stage, they don't like. They don't enjoy that. So since this is ikin shidachal, ikin shidaloyachli, so this, even Rav Shimon agrees that this depends on the owner. Does he consider it ra'ilachil or not? So if he declares on Erev Shabbos, he plans to eat these grogas for tzimukim that are in the in-between stage, then as far as he's concerned, then it's called anoichel, then it's mutter. But if he doesn't express in advance of Shabbos, he doesn't express his opinion explicitly that he plans to eat it, that even Reb Shimon would agree that it's, you can't say the oichel is mucha me'elov, because it's not oichel, because he can't shi d'loyachli, other people wouldn't eat it. So that's why even Reb Shimon agrees that you need achanas abayim. Similarly, the Gemara talks about digde aniyim, bebeis aniyim, or bebeis ashirim. When begodim tear.
Don't we say kurgos
I don't think you really need, that's a question how you read the Gemara here on Mem Hei Amid Aleph, but the Pashtus in the Gemara there is you don't even need the Hikza Biyadayim. You don't even need it. It's a question, what's the Maskana Bagma? I think Rashi says you need both. You need Hikza Biyadayim plus Hikinshi Deloyach. The Gemara there seems just to say you don't need the Docho Biyadayim. And then the same thing if you have, let's say, a borderline Kli. So if a beggar tears, so if it's bebeis of shalanim, they're not going to throw it out so quickly. They're going to save the beggar and they're going to sew it up. They're going to stitch it up. So if you have a big, if it's bebeis of shalashirim, if the thing tears, so they're going to throw it out in the garbage. So the Gemara says, what if you have a shmata, a beggar tore, it's a shmata, which if it would have been bebeis of shalanim, they would have used it, but it's not bebeis of shalanim, it's bebeis of shalashirim. So since the owner of the beged is an ashir, then as far as he's concerned, this thing is a shmata, it's gone in the garbage. He's not going to save it, he's not going to use it. So then even Rav Shimon would agree that then it would be muktzah. But for other people, if it would have been the beis of shalanim, he would have not thrown it out in the garbage. Yeah, but if it's a borderline oichel or borderline kli, so then it has to be determined by the bailim, does he consider it a beged or a kli, or does he not consider it a beged or a kli? If he doesn't consider it beggar or a kli, then Rav Shimon doesn't say that it's mucha me'elov. So in that Gemara in Beitza Daf Chavav and Mebeis, where the Gemara describes this institution of grogas and tzimukim, similar to the big danim, Mebeis of Shalashim versus Beis of Shalanim. So the Gemara there says, what's the din? I left the a week before Yontif. I left the grapes on top of the roof, on top of the roof, that they should bake out in the sun and they should develop to become raisins. And he didn't have a chance to look on Erev Shabbos. Then in the middle of Shabbos he looks and he realizes that it already was completed before Shabbos began. On Erev Shabbos he was not aware. But in the middle of Shabbos comes to the realization that it was sufficiently dried out on Erev Shabbos that was L'chol HaDeis, that was Roi L'Achilo. So Gemara raised the question, is that acceptable? So Gemara says, yeah. So when the Sheiltas quotes that Gemara, a lot of times the Sheiltas quotes a din from the Gemara, and he presents it, he says, well, the Shaila was like this. The Sheiltas is a collection of sermons, of Shiurim, that were given to Balabatim in the days of the Goyim. I think the one who wrote the Sheiltas himself was officially, he was a big Talmid Chacham, he was not officially from the Goyim. The Goyim means the yeshiva was called Goyim Yankif. And the fundraiser, the president of the yeshiva, whose responsibility it was to raise the money, was known as Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankif. So he was not, he was lucky. He was a Talmid Chacham. He didn't have to raise any money. So officially he was not a Goyim. But it was what we would consider a Goyim. He was a big Talmid Chacham. So his style of giving a shiur was, he'd always raise a shaila. That's why it's called Sheiltas. What's the din that you have to fast on Yom Kippur? So the answer is yes, it's a pasuk in the Chumash. What's the din? Are you allowed to do malach on Shabbos? The answer is not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. A pasuk in the Chumash. That's how he always starts off. What's the din? So when he quotes this din from the Gemara never asks, what's the din? Are you allowed to do malach on Shabbos? He always presents everything as if it's a shaila. He says, should I say A? Should I say B? So when he quotes that Gemara about the grogus v'tzimukim that already dried out before Shabbos began, and you didn't realize it till in the middle of Shabbos, the Gemara says that it's okay, it's mutter. So he says, should we say that you need hachonas ha-bailim, and the bailim wasn't aware of this on Erev Shabbos, so it's awesome to eat it, or should you say that the food is mucham e'elov? Toshma, that the Gemara says that it's okay, it's mucham e'elov is okay. So Rav Soloveitchik used that lashon from the Sheiltas, and he thought that that's the main nekudas ha-machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. That's exactly the machlokes. Reb Yehuda says that you need hachonas ha-bailim on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, if you have chitim la'oitzar on daf kuf chav zayin, on tamili iskan, you test on the base, or if you have the ice cream in the freezer, or you have the face of the bigger dishes, there's an umdar of the muchach that the balabas did not plan to eat this on Shabbos. Or if you have mukta machmas mius, a mem dalar amin aleph. In the days of the Tanaim, they used to have klicheres, earthenware vessels that they would use as a cup to hold oil, and then they would put a wick in, and then they would light the wick, so the cup, the earthenware cup, would get so greasy, grimy, filthy, that it wouldn't pay to wash it out. You would have to spend so much money on a detergent to clean it out, it wouldn't pay. Like today, we gave a mashal if you have a plastic cup, so some people are poor, and some people reuse the plastic cup many times over. Some people use, let's say, a paper plate or a plastic plate. So you eat a meal on it, then you wash it off and you reuse it, then you reuse it, you use it. Most people do not do like that. You use the plastic cup for one meal, you refill it several times, you drink a lot, then you throw it out after the meal is over. It doesn't pay to wash it out. So in the days of the Tanaim, they had such a thing. That's called Muktze Machmas Mius. They're going to throw the thing out. It doesn't pay to save it. The thing is a perfect clay. There's nothing wrong. You can wash it out. It'll be a big tircha to go wash it out. You're going to have to get a detergent because you once lit a flame in it and it got all full of the grease, of the shemen, of the oil. So the chepze bi'atzmuso is a kli. So it's royally hishtamshus. So according to Reb Shimon, you don't need achonas abayim. Whenever you have oichlam, whenever you have kelim, that L'chol HaDeis HaRuchim, L'chol HaDeis is not a borderline kli, it's not a borderline oichel. Grogus for Tzimukim is a borderline oichel. That depends on whether the Bailim makes a declaration in advance that he plans to eat it. And the same thing, Big De'aniyim, depends on who the Bailim is. Does it, is it considered a beged, is considered a kli as far as the Bailim is concerned. But this Mukta Machmas Mius, this is not a borderline kli, it's 100%. A plastic cup that you're going to throw in the garbage, 100%, that's a good cup. But there's no hachonas habaylim. So that's the machlek, because of Yud Reb Shimon. Do you need hachonas habaylim or not? Then the Gemara has the machlek, because of Yud Reb Shimon, where they say, Migud is katsoy, the bein hashmashes, is katsoy, the kuli yoyma. According to Reb Shimon, there's no din in Migud is katsoy. So Moshe Shemesh Abinevish Abikai Reb Shimon Matir, right above the Mishnah on Mem Dalam and Alf. Reb Shimon says there's no din of Migaris Katzai. Kozman, and there is Dolek. The Gemara quotes, Reb Shimon holds. The Gemara quotes the Bereis, Reb Shimon holds. Chutzman and there Hadelek Bishabis. Kopsa, Muta the Tafel. Kozman, and there is Dolek. I say it's a buses davar. After the ner goes out, I don't say migeres katzoy. Shimon doesn't hold for migeres katzoy, and Rabbi Yehuda does hold for migeres katzoy. Why is that? The machlekes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. What does it have to do with the other machlekes? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explain. According to Rabbi Shimon, that you say oichlam and kelim amuchan me'aleihem. So he says it's mucha me'elav avul liachazman bein hashmashes. It's mucha me'elav avul liachazman, and that's only if there is a foreseeable. If you have kos karev ashashis, that's how the Gemara quotes a mem dalad man aleph. Gemara quotes a brisa. So the last line in the brisa tosefta. So the last line in that tosefta says the kos karev ashashis lo yizizam im kamim remain muktza throughout. What is it? What is it? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says not even Rabbi Shimon agree because kos karev ashashis is talking about Hani Nefishi. It looks like it's going to burn the whole 24 hours of Shabbos. So from the perspective of Ben Hashmashis, it doesn't seem that there is going to be any foreseeable Lachazman. So the only time Rav Shimon says he don't say Migeres Katzoy is if Ben Hashmashis, we all know the Ner is going to go out at 1 o'clock at night. The candles are going to go out. So we know Ben Hashmashis is going to be Muchan Lachazman. So he says, Mucham Eyele Babu Leachazman. But if it looks like there isn't going to be any for Siba Lachazman, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you would say, Migeres Katzai. You can't say it's Mucham Eyele Ben Hashmashis, Avu Leachazman. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't say Mucham Eyele, not by Yochlam, not by Kalim. You don't say Mucham Eyele, say Nid Achonas Abaylam. So let's say when the woman benches Licht, says, no, Achonas Abaylam. Why not? So what if the woman says explicitly, I know the candles are going to go out at 1 o'clock at night, between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock at night. I have in mind to move the candlestick. After it goes out, I don't want the candlestick to be a buses. I only want it to be a buses, calls man and there is doyle. So that, the Ran quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim about that. It's Nagel HaLocha, because even though we paskan HaLocha Kereb Shimon, but we have a compromise psak. We paskan Migedes Katzoy. That's at the end of the Mesich. The Gemara says, Yamaroyim paskan hefa like Reb Yehuda, hefa like Reb Shimon. So Migeres Katzoy, we do accept Lalach, we do paskan like that. So that's a shaila. What would the din be? I'll leave it to Reb Yehuda. What would the din be? Lalach. A woman benches lich and she says beferish, I want to use the candlestick. I want to move the candlesticks after the candles go out. Would you say leave it to Reb Yehuda? Fine. There's achanas abanim. She says she's going to use it. Or maybe I should say no. It's like. True, you own it, you're the Bailam and Didim Amenis, but since Ben Hashmashis it is buses, so maybe I should say it's like Shaloi Veina Bishusai. Maybe you can't consider him the Bailam to be a Balabas to say, after it goes out, I want to use it later, and I want to be Mechen in Abu Lachazman. Maybe you don't have a din of a Bailam here, like Adobisha Eina Bishusai. So that's a Machloikis in the Rishonim. So some Rishonim were Mekel, that Rabbi Yehuda holds from the din. Migeres Katzai, because he need Achanas Abanim. So if you have Achanas Abanim, we won't say Migeres Katzai. He said before Shabbos begins, he says, I plan to use it after the flame goes up.
According to Rabbi Tam, shouldn't you not even need that? Because the flame's not going to be there all Shabbos. Doesn't he hold that you have to want it there? You have to have it there all Shabbos for it to be brought in the first place?
Right. That's a good kasha. The Rishonim asked that kasha on the Rabbi Tam, right? So they gave some kind of an answer. I don't know. That was a good kasha. Yeah. Where did that Rabbi Tam come from? Where was that Rabbi Tam? That was Nun Aleph, Amen Aleph, I think. The Gemara there talks about. Nun Aleph, Amen Aleph, Tosfos quotes Rabbi Tam. A person has a pot of food and then he wants to maintain a pot of hot soup and he wants to maintain the heat in the soup. Let's say he turned off the fire. So he put something on top. So on Erev Shabbos, there's a din of hatmana. There's a din of hatmana on Shabbos, there's a din of hatmana on Erev Shabbos. Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is only prohibited if it's davar hamosif hevel. If it's davar hamamid hevel, just maintains the heat, preserves the heat, that's mutar on Erev Shabbos. Hatmana on Shabbos is mochomer. So even if it's only Mamed Hevel, Also, you're not allowed to do hatman. So let's say the person did hatman on Erev Shabbos, but dover, that's not moisev hevel, so that's permissible, not a problem. But the dover hamatman, the thing that he put on top of the pot, happens to be a muksa digger thing. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. How's he going to get it off? He's going to pick up the lid of this pot of soup, and the whole all the mukta dika things are going to fall off. A whole discussion. So Rabbeinu Tam is all the Bishanim ask Akasha, how is he allowed to pick up the lid? He put all of the mukta dika things on top of the lid of the soup pot. So why don't you declare that the lid becomes a basis lidover ha'asa? So Rabbeinu Tam answers in Tosfos that from this Gemara you can establish this principle. The Gemara says it only becomes, the Gemara says in the end of the Masechta, you only say basis davar asa if it's meniach. If it's shocheach, you don't say basis. A person on Erev Shabbos, he came home late from the office, and he put his wallet on top of a pot, and he forgot it there. He wasn't thinking, he forgot it. So you're going to say, since the wallet has so much money in it, so the pot becomes a basis davar asa? No, it was shocheach. He wasn't thinking at all. The only time it becomes a basis is if meniach on purpose. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, even if it's minyach on purpose, but only if he plans to leave it there, kol ha-Shabbos. If he only plans to leave it there part of the Shabbos, then it doesn't become a basis. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, what do you do? The original case of Migdas Katzoi is by Hadlaka Saner. So he knows it's going to go out in the middle of the night. So the Rishonim gave an explanation why it doesn't contradict the Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush. The other Rishonim gave a different answer on the Kasha. Balamor and the Meiri, they're both from Provence. So apparently in their area of the world, they came up with a different answer. That the only time you declare that the thing on the bottom becomes a basis to the thing on top, that's if it's normal. Let's say money you put in a drawer. Your wallet you always put in a drawer. Or you put it somewhere on your dresser. You always leave it in a certain place. So the Eilach HaDobash Eilach HaMokim. There's a mokum where you place the thing. So the thing on the bottom is mishamesh, the thing that you put on top to hold it. Now, Shenikin over here, what are you going to say? The lid of the pot is in order to hold the muksa digger thing on top. No, fakir. The muksa digger thing is mishamesh, the pot. It's to preserve the heat of the soup. He doesn't want the heat to dissipate. So that's why he covers it. So since the dover she'ena nitol, the dvar muksa, which he put on top of the pot, on top of the lid of the pot, is mishamish the pot. It's not that the lid is mishamish the dvar muktze. The dvar muktze is mishamish the lid, is mishamish the whole pot. So that's not considered basis davar asa. That's an interesting chiddush.
According to Rishonim, if a person has something in his privilege, he never eats it. But on Shabbos, he has to eat it for some reason, some other food, or he gets sick.
Well, he personally doesn't like it, but he knows other people do eat it. So it's mukham for other people. Let's say I have, Igmar has later, let's say I'm the farmer, and I was mafresh truma. If you have tevel, tevel is mukta. That's mishnayis. But if you were mafresh truma, so the truma is not mukta. But I have to give it to the kohen. And it's in my home. In my home, none of us are kohanim and not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says now, one might have thought that it would be muktzah because the one who has it now is the farmer. Farmer's not allowed to eat it. Kamashmala, no. Of course the farmer's not going to eat it. He's going to give it to the kohen. For the kohen, it is edible. So it's not muktzah. If I have food, I'm allergic to this food. I can't eat it. Or I don't enjoy spinach. Or I don't enjoy this kind of food. I don't enjoy the taste. Sweet and sour fish, meatballs, or whatever. I don't enjoy it. But I know other people do enjoy it. So that's like achanas abayim. That's like Achanas Abayim. Even though he would never eat it, but he knows other people will eat it.
It's only general. Something is like burgers and simukim is something you can apply to a lot of people.
Grogus and simukim is a type of a food that he wouldn't enjoy. If he doesn't enjoy it, he wouldn't give it to other people either, because he doesn't consider it roi lachila. So then Gemara says Reb Shimon would be moida that the grogus and simukim will be muktzah. Because from the perspective of the balabas, it's not considered oichel. It's a borderline oichel.
Because he wouldn't give it to others?
Yeah, he wouldn't give it to others to eat either.
Even though he might like in between.
Even though he...
might like in between.
No, if he likes it, then if he declares in advance, I think I may want to eat it, so then fine. So then it's oichel. then it's not mukta at all. Then it's not mukta at all. But if he doesn't declare in advance, since we know that a significant percentage of the population wouldn't enjoy eating drugs at Zimukim, so we don't consider it oichel at all. So you can't say it's mucha me'elov, according to Reb Shimon. It's not even called oichel.
How do we explain the painting on the wall? Why that would be mukta even according to Reb Shimon?
The painting on the wall was based on a Gemara. On Daf Mem Gimel Omid Beis, we said all of the whole concept of Muktzah is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun, pattern after the Dinim Deraisa of Kabbalah's Tuma. That's the Gemara, the first Daf in Kol HaKelim, first Amud Aleph in Kol HaKelim. That by Kabbalah's Tuma there are only four categories of things that are Mekabel Tuma: Odom and Kelim, Ochlam and Mashkin. Everything else is junk, so it's not Mekabel Tuma. So whatever is junk anyway. Whatever is junk anyway, so we're not making life so difficult. If we say don't handle it, because you may forget and carry it into the street. But these four things, Odom, Mekelim, Ochel, and Mashkim, the Torah gives them chashivas. That's why they're Mekabel Tumah. So if you're going to make a gzeira that you're not allowed to handle Odom, Mekelim, Ochel, and Mashkim, that would be a gzeira shenrei batzi biyuchadim lamed boy. Yeah. So the we say that it's not 100%. It's pattern called the Tikkun Ke'en Deraisa, the Tikkun pattern after the Didim Deraisa, but it's not exactly the same. So the Moshel, Ochlum Mashkim is only Mekabel Tumah if it's Michael Odom. It's Michael Behem, it's not Mekabel Tumah. And nonetheless, Michael Behem is not considered Mukta. As long as it's either Michael Odom or Michael Behem, it's not considered Mukta. The same thing, Kalim. There are certain Kalim, and the Gemara says, Klei Avonim, Klei Adoma, Klei Glolim. The Gemara has in the end of the first parak in Shabbos are not mekabel tumah at all, but nonetheless they are considered kelim when they get to the din of maim shuvim, when they get to the din of kiddush eifa parah, to mix eifa parah into a kli. So kli golem is also called a kli. So even kli golem, kli adoma, kli avonim, which are not mekabel tumah, but they are considered kelim when they get to the din of mukta. And the same thing, odom. Let's say Anochri is not Mekabel Tumah, but you wouldn't say therefore Anochri is a piece of junk, therefore it's Muktzah. We don't say it like that. So nonetheless, even though Michael Behemah is not considered Muktzah, there's Gemara's Bekamah Mekaymus. Nonetheless, the Gemara says over here, La Nitzucha Elo L'Shtei Chalos. You have Chalos Dvash. You have the honeycomb inside the beehive. So the during the winter, so the bees don't produce any honey, but you have to leave at least two honeycombs that they should live off. They eat the honey that they themselves produce. So the Gemara says, La nitzucha elo, the two chalas dvash. We leave the two chalas dvash inside the beehive. So the Gemara asks the kasha on the third line from the top of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, for hamuktzis ninu. The honey on the honeycomb is considered mukta. Why is it considered mukta? But it's Michael Behema. Michael Behema, you plan to let the bees live the whole winter long and eating that honey. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara seems to be that if you have Michael, any Michael, and you absolutely don't plan to handle it at all winter long, for the whole period of the couple of months of the winter, they leave the chalas dvash in the beehive, and the bees eat it on their own. We don't serve the food. If you have Michael Behemah that you serve to the animals, so then it's not considered mukta. But if you have something that you plan never to handle, that itself makes it that it's mukta. It's considered a dovah she'en bo hishtamshus klal. Hishtamshus means that you handle it. You have a kli that you handle. That's what we discussed. The Gemara says on the top line on Daf. Used to be a Gemara, yeah. Top line of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, still there. The Gemara says, "Hanach leNer Shem in a Psilo, all the Nasas Bosos Dover Hase." The Gemara says, "On Shabbos, the everything, the cup and the oil and the wick, everything is a Bosos to the flame. So therefore, everything below is considered a Bosos. And after the flame goes out, then it's a Machlekes Abiyur Reb Shimon with the same Bigudis Katzoy. So." Why is it a basis? Because the flame is considered mukta. So if that's the reason why it's a basis, it has nothing to do with the fact that you're not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos to do a havara. So let it be buses even on Yontif. How come on Yontif you're allowed to move around a candlestick? Why don't you say the flame is muktzeh? And since the shalhevis is muktzeh, the ner shemet apsila should be a buses. So the simple reading in the Gemara is that the shalhevis, the flame, is only muktzeh on Shabbos. On Yontif is not muktzeh. Why? Because on Yontif it has a hishtamshis. You can light another flame from this flame if you need it. On Shabbos, you use the warmth that's given off by the flame. You use the light that's given off by the flame. But you don't handle the actual flame itself. So the flame is a dovashem, but hishtamshis klal on Shabbos. So that's why on Shabbos the flame is muktzeh. So mele, the ner shemet apsila, the cup and the oil and the wick, has a din of a bosses, because the shalhevis on Shabbos is a dovashem, but hishtamshis klal. But on Yontif, it's a davish yesh b'hishtamshus. So the simple reading of that Gemara, that on Yontif is not considered muktzeh, is because on Yontif you have hishtamshus b'guf ha-dover. On Shabbos you don't have hishtamshus b'guf ha-dover. And the same thing, this Gemara by the L'nitzuch el el-os and shtei chalos, the third line from the top of Mem Gimel on the base, you see from the Gemara that if you have some food, perfectly normal food, roi l'achilos behema, whatever, but you don't plan to handle it at all, then many goyim is you don't plan to handle it, or just leave it there all winter long. So that's considered a dvar muktzah, something that doesn't have ishtamshes, but having a tiltel is considered dvar muktzah.
Doesn't the Gemara go on to say that that would only make sense according to Rabbi Yehuda?
Yes. So that's a question, that's what Rabbi Kivega points out. That's a question. What only makes sense? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Which line of what we said a lot of things before? There's a whole discussion before. Which part only makes sense? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Kivega points out that there's a contradiction between the Rashi and Beitza and the Rashi over here, and really it's based on the two Gemaras. There's a contradiction in the two Gemaras. One Gemara presents it that the whole din of Rabbi Yitzchak, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. On Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, two lines above the wide line. The second line before that, why? Om Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak has a chiddush. Ein kli nital el letzarch dover hanital. If I have, let's say, a lot of money on the table, so money is muktzah. So I'm not allowed to move the money on Shabbos. Let's say I have a guest that's coming to the house. I'm afraid he's going to walk off with all the money. So I want to bring a tray. Going to bring a tray with cookies, a tray with chocolates, and put it on top of the money, so he won't see that there's money on the bottom. But why am I carrying the tray? I'm carrying the tray in order to cover up the money. So Rabbi Yitzchak says you're not allowed to do that. We pass on that you are allowed to do it. But Rabbi Yitzchak holds ain't kli nital el tzarch davar hanital. What's the avera? What's the isa? So there's a stira between the two gemaras. So this gemara says even Rabbi Yitzchak would agree that whenever I have to move, let's say the chocolate tray is in the way where it is there, and I'm allowed to move it letzorech mikomo. So once I'm moving it, I'm allowed to move it all the way over here in order to cover up the dvar muktzeh. So our Gemara presents Rabbi Yitzchak's din. Again, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. Our Gemara presents Rabbi Yitzchak's din as a branch of the din of tiltel kelim. There's a din of muktzeh and there's a din of tiltel kelim. They're both shema yotzi. Both are because we're afraid the person is going to carry it to the street. But it could be that they were instituted at two different times. That's what we pointed out. The Gemara says that David HaMelech died on Shabbos. The Gemara Bema Madlikin and Shlomo HaMelech sent a shada to the Rabbanim and the Aflaman and the base. Ovi Mutal Bechama, his father's body was in the sun. Until Shabbos is going to end, the body's going to decompose, it'll be a bizarre amaze. What can he do? So he sees in the Gemara, so they told him, kikretinik. Put on a kikretinik and it'll be mutter to handle the mace. So you see that the laws of muktzah already exist during the lifetime of David HaMelech. When he died, there was already a shayla of muktzah. Then the Gemara says in Perikol HaKelim that the gzeiros of tiltol klisha malachta liyisr, tiltol klisha malachta leheter, sounds to Gemara that these were introduced b'mei Nechemya ben Chakalya nishnas mishnazu. The Gemara quotes from the Sefer Ezra that the people were mechal Shabbos when they came back in the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. The people were violating right and left. They were violating the laws of Shabbos. So in order to be mechazek Shmir Shabbos and Nechemya, was a rov. So he introduced all of these gzeres. So it's a contradiction. How come there it says that the din of mamukta already existed during the lifetime of David HaMelech? Here it says Nechemin ben Chakai was the one who introduced it. So the Netziv, in his commentary on Chumash, writes that obviously the gzer was instituted before the death of David HaMelech, but the people probably were lax in observance, and it fell into disuse. And whenever you have a gzera, so the whole gzera falls apart. So they had to renew the gzera. So they renewed it during the lifetime of the Chemni Ben Chakai. That's how the Netziv suggested. We suggested a possible answer, not like the Netziv. Maybe they're two different gzeras. Maybe the gzera Mukta was earlier. That was already during the lifetime of David HaMelech. And the gzera of Tilfil Kelim was later. Because we know that they're very different. Kalisha Malachta Le'isr in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes at Shuvas HaRosh that Kikar HaTinek, well, let's say I have a soup pot. So soup pot on Yom Tov is a Kalisha Malachta Le'heter. You're permitted to cook soup on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, a frying pan or a soup pot is a Kalisha Malachta Le'isr. So you're not allowed to move it unless Tzorach L'Gufa or Tzorach L'Mekomo. If it's not Tzorach L'Gufa and not Tzorach L'Mekomo, you're not allowed to. Let's say on Shabbos you serve the soup and the soup pot is half full. So you're not allowed to put the soup pot back in the refrigerator. So the Gemara says, no, if you have a klisha malachta l'isr, a soup pot, and it has some food in it, then you're allowed to move it. Why is that? Why are you permitted to move it? So on Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rosh, because of Kikar HaTinek, since it has a little bit of a soup in it, so you're allowed to move the soup. That's oichlim, and oichlim, and then oichlim and svarim, they never made any gzera at all. The gzera was only made on kelim. Until Kelim, Klisha Malachta Le'isa, Klisha Malachta Le'heta. So since on the soup they never made Xera, so the soup is matter you to carry the soup pot, even though the soup pot is a Klisha Malachta Le'isa. That's what the Rosh says. So the Rosh says, Hu adiname, let's say I have a frying pan. Not that I have leftover food in the frying pan. I have a frying pan that's a Klisha Malachta Le'isa, and I want to move it from one place to the other. So he says, put a Kikar HaTinek in it. And Kikar HaTinek will be mata you to carry it. I think Gemara says Kikar HaTinek is only lemeis bilvad. It doesn't apply to any other case of mukta. So the Rosh says, yeah, that's in the area of mukta doesn't apply, but in the area of klisha malachta liyisir, Kikar HaTinek would be a heter. That would be muta. So you see that they're very different. Then we had another difference. The Gemara says here that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that there's a din. That enkli nital letzorch davran nital. If you had to move a kli letzorch gufa letzorch mekaymai, then you can carry it ready. You can move it to the five rooms down in the apartment and put it where it belongs. That's how Rashi writes in Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Mitoch sheyochel litla letzorch mekaymai, since it was hetter to move it in the first place, malichel namakam sheyirtza. So you're allowed to carry it further. There's no iser afoytzoy here. There's an erev here. But it's a shayla of tiltal kelim. Whenever you have a heter to be metalta lekli, letzor gufa, letzor mekama, so you don't have to drop it immediately when you finish the tzor gufa. You can carry it and put it where it belongs. The same thing, it's a mefurish Rashi, Mem Gimel Amanal, he says it from the Gemara, and it's more famous in Shulchan Aruch, they quote it from the Taisus in the beginning of Beitza. Taisus on Daf, I think, Gimel Amabeitza, Dalan Amabeitza, the beginning of Beitza. Taisus says it. Rabbi Kavega says, "Look in the Rabbi Kavega there." And Beitza says, "Look in the Rashi over here." That's what it says in the Rashi also. So this is a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch whether this heter applies also to tilpa mukta. Let's say the moel is performing a bris mila on Shabbos. So many rishonim are of the opinion that the izemel shel mila is considered mukta mamish. Somehow it's a kalisha malachta leheter. If you have a mila bizman on Shabbos, so it's a klisha malachta leheter, it's mutter to perform the bris. Others say, no, it's basically it's a special heter. Mila bizman is decha Shabbos, but basically, izemel shal mila is like a sakan shal shchita. It should really be a klisha malachta leiser. And others hold, not only is it a klisha malachta leiser, it's mukta mamish. So the question is, if it's mukta mamish, and the moel is holding on to the sakan shal mila, when he finishes the bris, does he have to put down the sakan right away? Or do you say, no, since he's holding it anyway, and he had a heter to handle the sakan shamila in order to perform the bismila, so he can walk to a different room and put it away over there. So that's a machlekes, whether this idea that the Gemara has been to get to klisha malachta li'isa, that once you have a heter to move it, It's off goof and soft and come. You can move it wherever you want. Does that heter only apply to klishim or tiltel kelim, or does it even apply to muktzah? That's what we say. Rav Soloveitchik thought that these two were connected. Kikere tinek is a kula. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas Rosh. Kikere tinek is a kula in klishim alach deliyiser, but it's not a kula in muktzah. So he considered both of these to be similar, basically the same thing. He thought it's identical. He called it tiltel kofel. You have a double tiltel. You're carrying a klisha malach taliyisa with a dvar heter on it, a kikratina. So by muktzah there is no such heter, only lahitir elah lemeis belvad. Whereas by klisha malach taliyisa there is such a heter, you have a tiltel kofel. Or if you're going to carry it, part of the tiltel is going to be litzarku for the tzarch mekamen. Then the rest of the tiltel is no longer going to be litzarku for the tzarch mekamen, just wants to put it away where it belongs. So by tiltel kelim we would be mekel. And by muktzah, many hold the lahachmer, the Vilna Goyen, and the Derech Achaim Siddur. Mishneh Berurah quotes all of those achrenim would disagree with the Ramah and Reish Samach Vav and Hilchos Erev Shabbos. Yeah. So there was a stira, again, there was a stira between the two Gemaras. The Gemara of Eitzah and the Gemara Shabbos, Mem Gimel and Mem Beis. And Rabbi Kedeg points it out as a stira in the Rashis. What was the stira? The Gemara says something is only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, not Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. What's only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda? So, one version is that the whole din of Rabbi Yitzchok is a vort of muktzah. Rabbi Yitzchok, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchok. The whole sheet of Rabbi Yitzchok, enkli nital, tzarchta ranital, the whole thing is based on an idea of muktzah. Just like there's a din of bosses of Dabah Ha'asur, have a dvar muktzah, and it was meiniach, not shecheach. If I put a dvar muktzah on purpose, on top of the non-muktzah, so the buses on the bottom takes on the din of muktzah. So Rabbi Yitzchok says a chiddush, if you hold like Rabbi Yudin, that there's muktzah be'ochlam and be'kelim, when I pick up a kli intending to cover over money, or to cover over a beitzah, and all the Shabbos or beyond, which is muktzah, so I already consider this, the kli is going to be meshamish the beitzah, so it's already considered tilta muktzah. It's already... As if it would have been a basis on the bottom, would have been muktzah. So even if I plan to use it to cover over, to protect the muktzah, the cup is already considered muktzah from the beginning. So that would only be aliba de Reb Yehuda, aliba de Reb Shimon. There's no muktzah b'ochlam b'kelim. And the other version of the Gemara was no, that this line was only aliba de Reb Yehuda. The line that they said that the honey should have muktzah sninu. A muktzah snina, then the Gemara said, there has to be chishav alayim. So that's only aliba de Reb Yehuda. That's only aliba de Reb Yehuda. Aliba de Reb Shimon, there wouldn't be any problem. Because if you want, just because you left the honey there for the whole winter for the bees to eat, but if you want, you can eat it. Let's say you have the tamei liyiska. It's clear and obvious that you don't plan to eat it tomorrow. But if you want, you can eat them. There's nothing treif with them. But you have the chitim loitza. If you want, you can eat them. It's obvious that there was no hachonas abaylim. The Bailam didn't plan to eat it on Shabbos, but according to Reb Shimon, you don't need Achanas HaBailam. So that's what the Gemara meant to say, that the food, that's the two honeycombs, the Shtei Chalas Dvash, and the beehive that are miyuchad for the bees to eat the whole winter, and you plan not to use it, plan not to handle it at all, but if he wanted to, he could eat it. If he wants to, he could use it. Aliba de Reb Shimon, I would say that it's Mucha Me'elof. Masheni kind of Aliba Reb Yehuda wouldn't be. So, let's say you have paintings hanging on the wall, and I plan not to handle them at all. So you should say, but if the din is like Reb Shimon, it shouldn't become Muktzah. It shouldn't become Muktzah. I don't know, you say Ochlim and Kelim, according to Reb Shimon. Would you say the same by a painting hanging on the wall also like that? I don't know. That's a question.
Is a painting not a
kli? I don't think a painting is a kli. It's like we had had a tesis in Masechah Sukkah, Perek Lulav Arava. So the tesis says that a lulav is muktzah even on yontif because it doesn't have a tzuras hakli. You mazmin it, you plan to use it for the purpose of shaking the lulav, fulfilling the mitzvah, so basically the lulav is muktzah. And the Chazon Ish disagreed with Taisus, and he said, in order that something, so we have a din, a little bit was in Masechus Shabbos Daf Nun Aleph, and more of a discussion was in Masechus Beitza on the first parak on Daf Ches, where the Gemara says, let's say you have ashes, or let's say you have a sack of sand, you have a sack of sawdust. So in the days of the Gemara, when they would have dirt on the floor, they would pour sawdust on top of it, or they would pour sand on top of it. So sand is mamish, eitz ma'avon of the offer, it's offer, it's muktzah mamish. But if you mazmin it in advance, or let's say you have a bris milah, and the minig is, based on the Zohar, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, mimona afar Yaakov, so the minig is to be matmin the or ha'orla ba'offer. So what if the bris is on Shabbos and Yontov? How can you be matmin ba'offer? Offer is muktzah. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you mazmin it in advance. You mazmin it, and what? It becomes no longer offer. It's still going to be offer. That's the minig. Mimona afar Yaakov. It is offer. The answer is, when you have something that's muktzah and you plan to use it, you set it aside to use it, it remains muktzah. But as a heter tiltel for that purpose, or for any other purpose equally important or more important. Equally important or more important. So that's what if Taisus holds that the lulav is basically muktzeh, but you plan to handle it on Yontif, so you have a heter tiltel, and the Chazanish disagrees with Taisus. He thinks the way we paskan l'alocha, the definition of kli doesn't have to be definition of kli for the purpose of muktzah does not have to be identical with the definition of kli hilchas kabbalas tuma. Even in hilchas kabbalas tuma, let's say the lulav is not a kabbal tuma, it's not a kli, but since I can use the lulav to fulfill the mitzvah with it, when I get to muktzah, it's considered a kli. Not that it's a heter tiltel, despite the fact that it's muktzah. He have a head to tilt, and he shows that it's not muktzah at all. He wrote, Chazanish thought that that was the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah about a ball. Mechaber writes that a ball is muktzah on Shabbos, and the Ramah disagrees. So the Mechaber holds that it's muktzah based on the Mishnah and Caleb, that a ball is not mekabel tumah. And the Ramah disagrees, even though it's not mekabel tumah, but the definition of a kli for the purpose of muktzah, it doesn't have to be. The outline is the same. The four things, other mekelim ochamashim, the four categories, are based on hilchas kabbalas tumah, but the details are clearly not the same. So just like we said, michael behema is not mekabel tumah, but for muktzah purposes, it is considered michaelim. It is considered hilchas. So the kli also doesn't have to be exactly the same definition. What does the term mean? Tiltel muktzah min atzad. I want to move some muktzah, but without handling the muktzah. We assume, the Chazanish doesn't agree, but the Mishnah Berurah assumes, like the Magen Avraham, the Pashtus, not like the Chazanish. Tiltel muktzah is only also be adayim. If I'm going to move the muktzah with my elbow, I'll move the muktzah, kick the muktzah with my feet. There's no way to tiltel muktzah. Then the whole prohibition of muktzah is Exer Shema Yod. So normally people do Haitzah by handling it, holding it in their hands. You can violate the Haitzah by kicking a ball also on the street. But since the normal way to do Haitzah is Biyadayim, we assume they only prohibited Tiltel Muktzah Biyadayim. So what if I'm going to move Muktzah without handling the Muktzah? So let's say I put my wallet in the drawer and I'm going to open up the drawer. I put my wallet in that drawer. So the drawer may or may not become a buses drawer. So if the drawer is a buses, when I pull out the drawer, I'm handling the buses is muktzah, not just the wallet. So I'm handling the drawer via dime that you're not allowed to do. But let's say it would be shocheach. It wasn't meniach. So the tray on the bottom by shocheach does not become a buses. So if I'm going to take the tray and tilt it on the side and have the wallet fall on the floor, that's tilt the muktzah min atzad. I'm moving the muktzah, I'm getting the money to fall off of the tray without actually handling the muktzah biyadayim. I'm handling the tray, which never became a buses, because it was shocheach. So that's called tilt the muktzah min atzad. So there we pass and tilt the muktzah min atzad is mutter. All of a sudden over here, the Gemara says you have a mace and a mito. You want to roll the mace from one mito to the other, so all of a sudden it's a machlek is hatanayim. And tilt the muktzah min atzad is aser, and the Tana who says that it's muter Reb Yehuda ben Lakish is a special heter because mitoch shadim bo'ol al meisa, that's the last line of mem gimel and beis, mitoch shadim bo'ol al beisa ilo sharis li osi l'chabuye, where fate is going to do a malacha. So we give him a heter. Why is it a special heter? Don't we pass until temukta min atzad is mutter? So why all of a sudden here? The Gemara says l'chol adeis ben l'tanakama ben Reb Yehuda ben Lakish, they both agree till temukta min atzad is osir. So the Shulchan Aruch accepts the answer that the Tesis gives. The Omeri, about 15 lines from the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Thank you very much. So Tesis gives an answer about 15 lines, 10, 15 lines from the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. But Omeri, the Eish Lechalek, if it's tilta muktam and atzad, the tzarech d'avra mutter, then it's mutter. The tzarech d'avra haser is asr. Here he was shochech. He left his wallet on top of a tray. He wasn't thinking. So the tray does not become a basar. So if he's going to pick up the tray, he needs the tray. So he's going to pick up the tray and knock the money to the floor. He's not interested in hiding the money. He's interested in using the tray. So that's tilta muktam and atzad, the tzarech d'avra mutter. He wants to use the tray. Or tzarech l'mekomo. The whole thing is in the way. He wants to get everything out of there. He wants to get the tray into the kitchen. He wants to get the money off of the table. So that's called the tzorach d'avra mutter, tzorach l'mkomo. But here he wants to move the mace from one location to the other. So here, tilta muktzah min atzad, the tzorach d'avra ha'asur is also special kula by mace, either shorisle, osu the kabuye. If there's a fire, special kula Reb Yehuda ben Lakish came up with. Otherwise it would have been osu. Okay, we'll continue on Sunday. Sunday's a regular day. Okay, I think so too. So.